There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman, and we're here to do a Festivus-style podcast to start off with an airing of grievances for IU's homecoming performance against Rutgers. What we need to see from IU over the last five games, not to save Tom Allen's job, but just for the health of the program going forward as well. And then we'll get into the game against the 10th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions. TJ, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I suppose we will begin with the Rutgers game, another homecoming defeat for Indiana, another loss to Rutgers. That is a matchup game. We talked about it, you know, before the season, all offseason, we talked about IU's matchup games, you know, the 50-50 contests that Indiana needs to be successful at, not all of them, but most of them, in order to get to a bowl game. Because you are in a division where you are playing Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. It's three losses in the vast majority of the time. You start off with three losses. You've got a couple of those games on the schedule where you feel really good about getting a win. And then, you know, the rest of them are, okay, if Indiana plays really well, they should have a chance to at least win this game. And Rutgers is one of those games, or at least it should be. And unfortunately, what we saw on Saturday was just confirmation that it's just not going to happen. Not for this Indiana team, and it has not happened for the 2021 or 2022 editions. It was further confirmation that IU's current coaching staff is out of answers. They do not have a way forward to be successful. The personnel changes, the play callers change, some of the position coaches change. The results have stayed frustratingly the same. And if we dive into the specifics of the game, which is entirely pointless, but if you look at the statistics of this game, it was closer than 31-14 would indicate. But if you watch the game for the entirety of the second half, it fell over.
Yeah. Tom Allen said something. Tom Allen said something on Monday. After IU muffed the punt, and that was with about 40 seconds left in the second half. Actually, I think he brought it back to where they scored the touchdown to tie the game. And I think Rutgers had one possession, punted, then IU punted back. IU tied the game with like 4.5 minutes left and didn't get the ball back after that until about 8.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And they were down 10 points. And that's exactly what you're saying. Rutgers limited the possessions. And they made a 10-point game feel like a 30-point game. And IU also gave Rutgers 10 points. Really, you know, you're talking about a game that statistically looks more like 21-14 instead of 31-14. But all those hidden yards, which come on special teams, came to fruition. A Rutgers good special teams team. They always have been under Greg Schiano. And it was a disaster of a day. And you just felt sitting in the radio booth with the window open, you know that feeling when you hear silence? That's what you heard at Memorial Stadium. And that was just the sound of apathy. you know, my third key to the game against Rutgers was, you know, you're going to have to deal with fans booing. The fans didn't really boo. I mean, they booed once or twice, and then it was just over. You know, that's when you know you're in trouble, you know.
Yeah, but let's dive in to just briefly. Rutgers ran the ball 55 times for 5 yards a carry. And those two things are related. They wouldn't have kept running it if it wasn't working. But, you know, 55 rushes for 5 yards a carry, 3 rushing touchdowns. Rutgers only threw it 12 times for 39 yards. I mean, yeah. Gavin Wimsatt, their quarterback, he's barely a quarterback. I mean, not
they ran an offense accurate. That was good in 1909. That's what they did.
It was essentially a service academy game without the option.
Yes.
I mean, they controlled the clock, 38 minutes on time, almost 38 minutes on time of possession. And I think for me, and one of my keys to the game prior to the game was getting Rutgers into third and long. Because, you know, if you allow them to stay on the schedule on offense, picking up 4 or 5 yards on first down, 4 or 5 yards on second down, and then they've got either a first down to reset or a third and short, you're going to have a long day. It's exactly yep. what we talked about. And they were rarely in third and long. If they were in third and long, they didn't convert because they can't pass the ball down the field.
Yeah, or I mean, IU anything, gave them a first down on penalty.
Well, yeah, that too. Now, Indiana ran the ball 29 times for 5.3 yards a carry, which one positive, and we will point out a positive, Trent Howland is playing very well and has shown he deserves more time. He deserves more snaps. I would expect to see that moving forward. It won't make a darn bit of difference against Penn State, but he looks good. Trent Howland looks like Indiana's best running back right now, if we're being honest about it. So that was a positive, 5.3 yards a carry. But Indiana, 15 of 31 on an average of 4.1 yards per attempt. I mean, that's awful. Under 50% on 4.1 yards per attempt. To put that into context, your yards per attempt, you are probably wanting to see 7 to 8 yards would be, you know, solid to pretty good. So 4.1 is quite low, and that's not a problem unless you're completing less than 50% of those. If you are throwing 15 for 31, you would hope that that means you're taking a bunch of shots down the field and your average yards per attempt is like 9 or 10. That's not what we saw from Indiana's offense. But I do think that you saw two teams that were similarly talented. One of them executed the, quote, little things, is what it often gets dismissed as. The, quote, little things like protection on punts, like execution on sure yardage with penalties. Indiana was you mentioned it, they, you know, penalized 5 times for 55 yards. That's not bad at all, but there were a couple that were costly. And Rutgers just solid. I mean, the Big Ten Network broadcast rarely makes points that I think are astute. But they did in this case when they repeated something Greg Schiano had said to them. Rutgers believes that they will win their share of games by letting the other team beat themselves. If Rutgers can avoid beating Rutgers, and which just means being solid, playing fundamentally sound, and just keeping the ball, making enough plays with their running game, being solid on defense, if they can do those things, the other team more often than not, which means when they're not playing Penn State, Ohio State, or Michigan, will beat themselves. And that's exactly what happened.
What happened the last 2 weeks at Rutgers?
Yeah, exactly. Michigan State did the same thing, and Rutgers is making plays on special teams. They are making plays with their running game, which, again, was not overwhelming. It was just solid. And Indiana couldn't make any big plays to halt it. So that part, obviously, incredibly frustrating. As we look at the larger picture, you know, you're left with there's not a path forward. I mean, if the matchup games that we analyzed so far, Maryland, Louisville, and this Rutgers game, they IU competitive in the second half against Louisville, completely uncompetitive against Maryland, and I would say
competitive
never
first
really
half.
Felt like a threat at all in the second half to beat Rutgers.
No.
Once Indiana fell behind in the second half, it was over.
Yep.
There was no feeling that IU had a punch back. None. So in your, quote, matchup games thus far, 0-3, and not really any reasons to think that it's going to be different moving forward. So, again, it looks to me like a coaching staff that is out of answers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's out of answers. You have the press conference after the game was terrible too. You know, you had Allen take back that, you know, oh, he meant that they wouldn't rotate quarterbacks in game anymore. And it's just like, there's no answers. Nobody on the staff has an answer. They've changed coordinators. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed personnel on the field. It's over in terms of, you know, not trying to fix it, but it's over that there's a long-term solution. There's not. Well, there is, but there's not for this staff. TJ, going forward, IU has 5 games left. They sit at 2-5, 0-4 in the Big Ten. What do you want to, you know, there's still value in some of these games. I know there's transfer portal and you don't know how many players are going to be back and things like that. But again, not everybody can enter the transfer portal. You have new rules where you don't, you know, you have the one transfer. All these COVID years are starting to come to an end, and things like that. You know, what do you want to see over the last 5 games that IU could take, not only for this year, but maybe in the future, down the road, if there's a new staff and things like that?
Yeah, so I think first thing that I feel like Indiana is going to need an answer on is, do we have a quarterback on this roster that we could move forward with? We don't know yet. Sorsby, I'm not going to lay the blame at his feet. I thought he was fine against Rutgers. I would not say he was good by any stretch, but he was fine.
He missed
again,
a lot of open guys.
He did. Yeah. What we have to keep in mind with Brendan Sorsby is incredibly raw in terms of collegiate experience.
Yep.
So, you know, that's something in his favor. There are tools there to work with, particularly his mobility. The touchdown that he threw to Omar Cooper was a really good example of something that he offers that not every quarterback does. It's not an incredibly rare gift nowadays. You know, a lot of quarterbacks are able to do that, but he felt the pressure, evaded that pressure, reset himself, and made an accurate throw to a wide open receiver. And that was the highlight of Indiana's offensive day for sure. But that was a positive. And what you have to figure out is, do we have a quarterback on this roster that we would feel comfortable with in 2024 being our quarterback. Don't know the answer to that yet. Another thing that I want to see, Trent Howland get more work. He looks physically like he could be a bell cow feature back. He's big. He runs with power. And the coach has mentioned that he's doing a better job of being decisive and welcoming that contact, utilizing his frame. You know, he's a big guy, and you want to see him run like one. And he has when he's gotten work this season. So I'd like to see him, you know, get an opportunity to show that he could be a feature back, or at the very least, a valuable part of an offense moving forward. I would like to see the offense get aggressive with a vertical passing game to give these receivers a chance to show what they can do. I understand that that comes with risks, and especially with our previous quarterback conversation, it definitely comes with risks because you don't know if you've got guys that can stretch the field vertically accurately and without putting the ball at risk of being intercepted. I get that, but what's there to lose? I want to see what these receivers, particularly Omar Cooper, Donovan McCauley, Cam Camper, and I wouldn't mind seeing more Cam Perry as well. Guys that, you know, give them chances to make plays. Let's see what they can do. On defense, Aaron Casey has been a bright spot. He's played really well. I want to see what the young guys in the secondary, players like Jordan Shaw, I would like to see them get some work and see what you've got. You're not going to be playing particularly potent passing games here. The future opponents, Penn State, which honestly is this, Penn State fans would take this as an insult, but they should not. They are Rutgers plus this season. They do not have a downfield passing game. They don't have a vertical threat on with their passing game. Drew Aller much more accurate than Gavin Wimsatt, but they've got a very good defense, elite defense, and a really, really strong running game. They're going to bludgeon Indiana. But you look at Penn State and then Wisconsin and then Illinois, then Michigan State, and then Purdue. I mean, none of those are elite passing games of that group. And Hudson Card is probably the best quarterback that you're going to play outside of Drew Aller. And that might be debatable depending on, you know, what Drew Aller actually is. We don't really know yet. Penn State doesn't appear to trust him yet, to be honest. They're not really trying to stretch the field with him. So, you know, I overall point is I think that there's an opportunity for young secondary players to get work, guys like Jordan Shaw, get work, get them exposure, and not be going up against elite passing games to get their confidence totally broken. So I'd like to see that. And then I want to see Indiana just be really aggressive and take risks, because why not?
What else is there to lose? Yeah.
Like, why not? What I don't want to see is going against Wisconsin and trying to win a game 14-10.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen it before, and when IU has the right formula and Wisconsin is down, they were able to make that work one time. That worked. By and large, though, playing that way only means that you lose by slightly less than you would have otherwise if you were super aggressive. I want to see some innovativeness, some aggressiveness, some unique plays. Just try some stuff, because everything you've done so far has been a complete dumpster fire. So those are the big picture things that I want to see. The little thing, which is going to impact all of it, I hope that we're not on quit watch here.
That's a danger.
We're not going to know, but we will once games start here. Against Penn State, I don't think we'll see it. I mean, they're so much better than IU that it's going to be a little bit hard to tell. But against Wisconsin, we'll know.
Yeah, you'll know against Illinois. You'll know against Michigan State. Both teams could quit that one. And you'll know against Purdue. And Wisconsin without Tanner Mordecai. I want to see some of these.
They're not much better than IU. Wisconsin right now is not much better than IU. They're just
I want to see some of these.
But not that much.
Yeah, I want to see some of these freshmen play, like Kadarius Collins. I want to see Bubba Jeffries, Will Larkins, Austin Barrett, who was talked about all fall. Haven't seen him really.
Yeah.
Anthony Miller Jr., Sam West. Get Nico Radicic some run too, at kicker. You know, Orlando Greenlow, he wasn't dressed last week, but that over the last five games, you got to see what you have. And you know, maybe you throw Brock Lowry there. I don't know. Like, I know everybody's obsessed with Dexter Williams. I don't know if he's the answer. You know, he's a redshirt junior. Are you going to take snaps away from your two redshirt freshmen and true freshmen to maybe steal a game or two in 2023? And unless he's the starter in 2024, I don't see the benefit of playing Dexter. I don't. You need to look at the future of the program, and that is right now Tavon Jackson, Brandon Sorsby, and Brock Lowry. And you're getting close to that. There's four games left. You could preserve red shirts for some of these guys. You got to see what you have. You know, this is where I think Tom Allen and staff did a really bad job over the last couple of years when they had these losing seasons about building depth and playing freshmen and all of those things. So I don't expect, you know, things to change that way. But if for whatever reason they return, you got to start. You can't put these guys in next year and say, oh, they're freshmen, they don't have experience. Well, your season's kind of down the drain, and you know, now's the time to go get them those four games of experience, because you kind of wasted Omar Cooper last year. You've seen it all over the place the last couple of years with IU. That's what I want to see. Go see what you have. Let these freshmen, as long as they're physically safe to play, that you're not sending somebody out there who's just going to get clobbered and killed, play them, because you know it's the experience is worth it. You know, whether it's going to be a new staff or it's going to be Tom Allen next year, you got to see it, because there's not everybody's going to go to the transfer portal. And to those saying, oh no, people are going to go to the transfer, so what? This team is 2-20 over the last 22 Big Ten games. So what if they go to the transfer portal? I mean, it for nostalgia, so you could keep your Tavon Jackson jersey. But yeah, it is going to be a tough last five games of the season as an IU fan. It's been a tough last 2 years after such a nice 2019 and 2020 season. But it's time, and we'll have it all covered if and when the time comes that there's a coaching change and things like that. And, but we're not gonna preempt anything, you know, and start, you know, going off of rumors off of message boards and stuff like that. But right now it does not look good. There is no way forward. And, you know, you just enjoy the last 5 weeks and maybe take what you can out of the last 5 weeks and try and build something not only for this year, but, you know, down the road, maybe for the next staff too.
That's right. Yeah, I think I think we're both kind of on that same page where to us, to you and I, and to most people just kind of watching, it certainly seems like a change at the head coach position is something that needs to occur. However,
it's gotta. However, there's a $20.8 million buyout.
Exactly. You and I do not make decisions. We don't make decisions. We do not have an input. And the money is not ours. So I think that what we are going to watch is probably over the next five games. I think anybody like waking up on Sunday after another loss, hoping to see breaking news, I'd say that's probably unlikely.
You got to wait till November, late November, maybe December.
Right. Those hoping to see a change during the off season, like after the Purdue game, I think that that becomes a greater possibility. And, you know, once it does, if that occurs, obviously we're going to cover that extensively. For now, the only thing that we really can do is approach each week with, okay, what are we hoping to see first and foremost results-wise, Penn State notwithstanding? And then from there, what are we hoping to see in terms of a response from IU's players, you know, effort-wise, or, you know, are we on quit watch here? That kind of those little individual pieces to, oh, hey, that's a positive performance from this redshirt freshman, or that's a really nice segment, series from this, you know, true freshman, something that we can look forward to build on. That's what you're hoping to see at this point, is those flashes by these younger guys that, who knows, maybe that sparks something in a game against Michigan State and, you know, you get a win there. I think the only game left that the result is kind of the paramount thing is the bucket game.
Yep.
That's the one that it does not matter to Indiana or Purdue, who also not going to go to a bowl game, it appears. That's the one where, okay, you know, our season has sucked and it's been a really bad three seasons. But if we win this one, we got something. And that's going to be their last chance to do it. It might be Tom Allen's last game, period. That's something we might know ahead of time. We might not. Who knows? But I think that's the game results-wise that you're looking at. And the rest of them, there are some winnable ones left. I mean, Michigan State's terrible. Illinois is very inconsistent. Wisconsin's beatable without Tanner Mordecai. Not expecting IU to win any of those at this point, but you're hoping for individual performances. You're hoping for competence and effort from the team to still be there. And then, yeah, you've got kind of one eye looking to the future at like, hey, who's going to be here and who do we want here? And that's how we're going to kind of approach the rest of this season, because, you know, unfortunately we don't really have much of a choice. We've got to deal with the hand that we're dealt right now. We'd love to be covering a team that was, you know, 6-1 and headed for greater things and doing bowl projections and stuff like that, but that's just not what we got.
Nope. Well, that does it for this happy, upbeat, super non-depressing podcast. this evening.
Well, you know.
You know, Indiana match kicks
the product on the field.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That would be bad. Might as well not put out a podcast.
Screeching noises.
Yeah, just just put nature sounds on. Indiana kicks off against Penn State at noon on it's a Big Ten Network. It's got to be a Big Ten Network game. Big CBS. Ten Network. Oh yeah, CBS. That's right. CBS. National TV game. They kick off at noon at CBS against Penn State, and then noon against Wisconsin on BTN. You can follow us at Hoosier_Huddle. You could come visit the website, HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have all your stuff leading up to the game, player stories, things that we're watching, game wraps and reactions, all the good stuff, and stick with us through the end of the season. If any news breaks, we'll have it here at Hoosier Huddle. TJ, thanks for joining me. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you sticking with us.
Yep. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll ride it out, as always.